I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and always excited to have you on board of the podcast. It's a bye week edition of Cougar Tracks. No game tomorrow. We're at Friday, end of the week, and there's no game. I got to say, I hate these two bye week seasons. It's rough. Only two football games the past, 4 weeks? I mean, it's just kind of dragging this month has with no BYU football games. But what's different this bye week is that BYU, of course, has a big win to celebrate rather than the last time they were on a bye after losing to Toledo. So different circumstances there. Nonetheless, though, I wish there were some football games to actually discuss that was important to BYU. We've got a great show still on tap for you, talking BYU basketball, BYU football, independence, conference realignment, and also my top players by position through the first seven games of the season. So you don't want to miss any of that. Follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper and check out KSLSports.com on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and KSL Cougar Tracks on Instagram as well. And also, too, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and a review for the podcast. It helps out the show a ton. I've been overwhelmed by the great reaction from all the fans. I mean, when I go down to games in Provo, I always get people saying, hey, great work, Mitch. I really enjoy Cougar Tracks. Thanks. I always appreciate the kind words. And it's really fun to have this kind of platform and conversation because I hope the passion of BYU sports resonates through this podcast and hope you've been enjoying it so far. We've already been doing this now for about 4 months. How crazy is that? We launched this thing back in June, and now we're already at the four-month mark. It's flown by. It's been a lot of fun and continuing to get better and better and keep growing this thing as the days and months and weeks and all that goes by. But let's start off, though, with some BYU basketball news. BYU basketball going to be taking on the Cal Golden Bears. You're thinking, what? It's October and there's already a game? No. It's a closed scrimmage. Mark Pope has the option, and any college basketball coach, they have the option to play two games before the regular season starts. And they can do two exhibition games that are open to the public where people can come, go to the game, have it on TV, all of that. Or they can do a close scrimmage against another D1 team. The exhibitions usually are against D3 teams, NAIA teams, really some terrible competition. This is more valuable, and this is a different kind of tune for BYU hoops because usually Dave Rose had two D2 or D3 teams come into the building and do some exhibition games so fans could come. The close scrimmage against a D1 team is different, and BYU is going to take on the Cal Golden Bears. And, you know, Cal's not a great team. They're projected to be dead last in the Pac-12. Mark Fox, his team's got a tall order in front of them trying to rebuild this thing because a couple years ago, Quanzo Martin left, and then they had another head coach, and he was downright terrible. And now Mark Fox is there trying to build it back up to greater heights that Quanzo Martin got it at. Quanzo Martin had Jaylen Brown. He had Ivan Rabb. He had some good talent in Berkeley, but they never won much. So that's the unique challenge that Mark Fox has got in front of him. And, of course, Mark Pope, Mark Fox is a mentor to Mark Pope. Fox, of course, coached on the Georgia staff that Pope was working on, and Mark Pope gives Mark Fox a ton of credit for his start in the coaching business, and this was Mark Pope on what he's looking to accomplish from this Cal scrimmage with his team.
I'm really excited because it's either going to give us a lot of confidence or it's going to really humble us, and either one of those is a huge win. So, you know, I'm just excited to go play somebody and kind of see who we are and where we are and how we feel and how we fit together. And, you know, we'll give at least some part of the session with just the guys that can actually play in a game right now. And so that's going to be fun for us. We didn't really do that in Italy, so this will be the first time we compete against someone else where we're actually trying to play with just the roster that's available to us on the opener. So I'm so excited. And you know, I mean, it's Coach Fox bringing his team up here, and he's the guy that brought me into this business, and we've known each other forever. He was a GA at Washington. You know, we stayed after practice every single day together, just the two of us, him as a GA and me as a player, you know, just playing one-on-one and getting up shots. And so I love him dearly. And so the fact that he's going to be up here and we get to, you know, kind of see if we can get our teams ready in the same gym for a day is super exciting to me.
So there you go. That's Mark Pope discussing the Cal scrimmage that's going to take place on Saturday. Again, it's closed. No TV, no radio, no open to the public. Heck, the media doesn't even get to go. So I wish I could watch it. That would be great. It'd be great insight, great intel to kind of see what the roster, what the personnel is going to look like, because it's a mystery right now. I mean, we know the players that are going to compete, but we don't know really what the rotation's going to look like, the starting lineup. It's so kind of fascinating what this team could potentially look like this season because they're so limited on guys. And I got to imagine if you're Mark Pope, you want to kind of get a good look as to what your team looks like without Yoeli Childs. I think that's kind of an important piece because you know Yoeli's going to be great. Yoeli's a stud. He's going to be fantastic. When he comes back for that Utah game, Yoeli Childs is going to be great. But you guys start to get a look of what your team looks and feels like against new opposition without Yoeli and have it come in situations where it doesn't matter yet. Because quickly, November 5th is going to roll around. Cal State Fullerton from the Big West Conference is going to come into the building, and it's going to start counting. And the next thing we know, it's Christmas, and we're looking around thinking, where did the time go? So it's got to come in a hurry, and you got to start to kind of get a feel for rotations, personnel, guys you can trust in these first nine games. Because once you get Yoeli back, BYU is going to have the best talent, I think, in most games on the court that they play in, at least at the top half of their roster, I think, because again, I'm that high on Yoeli Childs, Jake Toulson, and TJ Haas. So without Yoeli Childs, I mean, to me, you look at key guys like TJ Haas, who has been cleared. He's fully practicing, which is a huge thing for this team. TJ Haas, Colby Lee, Dalton Nixon, Zach Selyus, he's still working his way back, probably not going to play in the scrimmage. Jake Toulson, I mean, those are some of your top guys right now. Alex Barcelo is going to be interesting how much he gets run in this scrimmage, potentially, maybe. I mean, you heard from Mark Pope, it's the first look of having the roster play out where with the guys that they know they're going to have on opening night. But Barcelo, it's interesting because on day one of practice, he was not a guy that was kind of pushed off to the side with, you see, at practice, at BYU basketball practice, they had guys designated in yellow jerseys in some of the scrimmage settings, 5-on-5. And the guys in the yellow jerseys were either walk-ons or guys that were likely going to sit out this season. Barcelo was not one of those guys. Harward, Wyatt Lowell, they were guys that sat out. So, again, there's always been a little bit of optimism with Barcelo. We've been saying that here on the podcast for weeks. Barcelo, there's reason to believe that potentially he could get you know, that waiver, maybe. And it ties in with that Arizona stuff. The Arizona scandals, I think, are potentially the reason for the waiver to begin with. So it'll be interesting if Barcelo gets any run in the scrimmage. But Trevenel, too. Trevenel's a sharp shooter, 6'5", 190. I've been high on him for a long time. And speaking of Cal, he was a guy that originally signed with Cal out of Woods Cross, backed out of the letter of intent when Quanzo Martin left for Missouri, went on his mission, but committed to BYU before going on the mission. He's got to be a guy that elevates his play. Blaze Nield, he's a little bit banged up. We heard that from Mark Pope. And then Jesse Wade, he's kind of overcoming some things with his knee right now. And we knew about that back in the preseason. Here on Cougar Tracks, we had a conversation with Cody Feger, the assistant coach for the Cougars, and Coach Feger even discussed how it's been a process getting Jesse back to full strength as he continues to overcome that knee injury he suffered a year ago. So BYU basketball going to take on the Cal Golden Bears in Provo. Mark Fox and his squad going to be coming to Provo for a close scrimmage. We'll keep you updated on KSLSports.com with what happens with that. BYU football news. Again, Cougars bye week. No game this week. Preparations continue for the Utah State Aggies. We're a week away. It's going to be a big game. 8 o'clock kick, ESPN2 up in the Cache Valley, and can't be understated enough. It's going to be a big game because it's a rivalry game. It's now truly a rivalry game. 10 years ago, growing up, I never thought of Utah State as a rival. Now it is for BYU. Testament to Utah State's growth as a program, to BYU's slight decline a little bit. But also, I think Utah State is maximizing their resources a lot better than BYU. And they've had some good coaching, and they've elevated their play. And it's a big game for them. Whereas BYU, I think until maybe a couple years ago, it didn't truly feel like a rivalry. Now it is. When you lose two in a row, backs are against the wall, you got to win. You got to win. It's going to be a big game. We'll talk more about BYU and Utah State in the coming days leading up to kickoff. I'll be up there in Logan. We'll have Cougar Sports Saturday, KSL News Radio, a whole bunch of coverage. So it'll be a big deal. Battle for the old wagon wheel, going to be a big one next week up in the Cache Valley. But, you know, once upon a time, Utah State, they were an independent. BYU, of course, remains an independent. Ninth season on this unique path of independence. And it's a mixed bag of opinions. Some BYU fans would tell you independence sucks. Some would tell you it's the only true way. You know, it's a mixed bag. I've always said that independence is a perfect fit for BYU. My only knock on independence is one, you still don't have the windfall of money like the Power 5 programs do, plus Notre Dame. If you had that money, oh man, independence is perfect. But I think even more than that, I have an issue with the postseason because BYU just goes to these bowl games that'll face Group of Five teams. It would be nice if BYU could be in a tiered bowl system and have the chance to play a Power 5 team. That would be ideal. And maybe once every 7 or so years, have access to the New Year's Six. If they could get that as an independent, hey, consider it done. You could make independence work for the long term. You could. If you could get some access to that New Year's Six, independence can work. But BYU currently doesn't have any automatic ties to the New Year's Six. They could qualify as an at-large, maybe, but that conversation has never came up because BYU, just quite frankly, hasn't been good enough in the months of November going into those months to have that conversation take place, at least during their independent era, dating back to 2011. So since independence started back in 2011, there's been a few additional teams that have joined the ranks of the independents. UMass joined it, New Mexico State, and Liberty. Liberty, I think, did it on their own because, well, they wanted to be in a league and they were willing to buy their way in. But like BYU, I think religious persecution a bit played a role. Or not persecution, but I think they a lot of conferences didn't want to deal with a private institution for a religion they just didn't understand. So Liberty's independent. New Mexico State, they're just terrible. I mean, what do they bring to the table? They got a good basketball program, but that's it. That's it. I mean, that football program is downright awful. Awful. And then UMass, pretty bad as well. Shockingly, somehow BYU has a loss to UMass in their history. I still get blown away by that. But UMass continues the path of an independent, and it's a rough road for them. They're not like BYU. If you think independence for BYU is rough, well, life as an independent for UMass is brutal. I honestly don't know how the Minutemen do it. I really don't. I don't know how the Minutemen do this at all. but they still trudge along and continue on this independent path. Their athletic director, Ryan Bamford, he spoke recently with the Greenfield Recorder talking about his program and UConn's independence, which has been kind of a topic, and we discussed that yesterday, how UConn potentially is going to be a regular opponent for BYU on future schedules. UMass, of course, has been a regular opponent for the last 4 years. It's been a boring series, to say the least. No one's enjoyed it, I think. I mean, is any BYU fan enjoying this? Raise your hand, because I'm not. I'm not enjoying the UMass series at all. But, hey, BYU lent a helping hand to a fellow independent. I get all that, so fine and dandy relationships, whatnot. So we'll enjoy BYU and UMass next month on flowsports.com. Choke on that. Anyway, Ryan Bamford, UMass AD, he had this to say about independence when talking about UConn and whatnot to the Greenfield Recorder. From a football standpoint, looking at a league like the American with UConn and Temple in there would have made some sense. Now I don't think it does, and we've found that being an independent and getting a really good competitive balanced schedule is doable. Now, having lived it for 3 years and scheduling for the next three or four, there's no real impetus for us to get into a league when I think there's going to be more independent football playing schools in the next 3 to 5 years as there's going to be conference realignment, end quote. Wait, hold on here. He says there's going to be more independent football playing schools in the next 3 to 5 years. This is, again, the UMass AD saying this. More independent football playing schools. Well, who would those be? Who are those programs going to be? Is it anyone from the Group of Five ranks? I think that's where he's going, maybe. And, hey, this could be a situation where he's just trying to hype it up to boosters and say, hey, we're okay. We're doing it. We're making it work. And you look at their schedules. It's okay. It is doable. It's still doable to get a schedule as an independent. I kind of laugh when I think back to 2010 when BYU announced their independent path. And everyone said, oh my gosh, how are they going to get 12 games on the schedule? How are they going to do it? It's worked out great. It's worked out fine. BYU has made it work. Now, some games have been awful. Savannah State, Wagner, those are brutal. You don't want to deal with those. But still, for the most part, scheduling as an independent has went pretty dang good for BYU. And now you're starting to reap the benefits of scheduling as an independent after about a decade now. Because next year's schedule is freaking loaded. It might be too tough to handle for BYU, but I digress. So scheduling is doable. I do buy that. But this UMass AD saying there's going to be more independent football playing schools in the next 3 to 5 years as there's going to be conference realignment. First off, I love hearing that from an AD making a stance that something's going to happen, because UMass clearly is not anywhere near the power structure of college football. But to me, he's seeming confident that something's going to go down. Now, I don't think anyone truly knows what exactly will happen in realignment, but you got to be ahead of the curve. You got to be proactive and try to look and dig into this thing as much as possible if you're an AD outside the power structure and ADs in the power structure. You got to be proactive. And at least that UMass AD is doing that. So, again, who would those programs be that could potentially be a football playing school that's an independent? Honestly, I look at everyone in the Power Five, SEC, ACC. No one's leaving. No one's leaving. They got their grant of rights. They've got their TV deals with ESPN. No one's leaving that conference. No one. No one's doing it. And the ACC's already got Notre Dame, who already is the blueprint of the outlier to the highest degree of independence. So no one in those leagues are leaving. Big 10, I don't see it either. I mean, maybe Ohio State would do it, maybe. No, I don't think so, though. When I said that, I was like, that feels completely wrong. They would never do that. No one in the Big Ten is leaving. That's a prestigious conference. Hundreds of years. I mean, you're talking 1800s. That thing dates back to the academic prestige. No one's leaving that conference. No one. And the money they get from Fox and the Big Ten Network, it's huge. That league is rolling in money. Now, Big 12, you start and look at maybe Oklahoma, maybe Texas. Maybe they can look at it. Those are two programs that maybe they would leave. But the Big 12 with only 10 members is rolling in a ton of money too. And now they got their new Big 12 Now on ESPN+. They seem pretty happy in that league. So then you shift out west. Pac-12, the only Power 5 conference and Power 5 program. And I've always felt that they make so much sense. They make so much sense. And I think there's kind of a underbelly of their fan base that kind of wants this to happen. It's USC. I remember when BYU went independent in 2010, it was Pat Hayden, the USC athletic director. He said publicly that they were researching potential independent path. Because if BYU can do it, sure as heck USC could do it. And I think almost any league would want to put USC's other sports in a conference, right? I mean, I don't know if the Pac-12 would want to keep them, but USC, a prestigious academic private institution, there's a lot of value to USC. And that football program is elite still as far as prestige and perception, because perception is king in college football, and they bring a ton of eyeballs, a ton of interest, and a ton of pageantry and a ton of history. USC's it, though, as far as the Power Five. You get into the Group of Five, and I think there's more that could potentially do it. Hawaii, I think they could go independent because they got the Oceanic pay-per-view package that they could bundle, and teams want to travel to the islands. Now, the only thing that would probably hurt Hawaii is that they might have to travel more to the mainland, maybe, as an independent. Maybe you suddenly go from 4 to 5 road games to the mainland to maybe 6 or 7, maybe. And that would be a problem financially for Hawaii. But still, though, I think a ton of teams would want to make that trek to the islands. I think they would. That's a unique opportunity, and Hawaii is always scheduled pretty well. All things considered, being in the Mountain West Conference, being in the WAC, they've always done a nice job scheduling. I think Hawaii could do it, and their Olympic sports are already dumped in the Big West. Boise State could do it, too, because I think TV-wise, Boise football would get ESPN. They already got a sweetheart deal in the Mountain West Conference. For some reason, they wouldn't make that happen for BYU. I digress. But Boise is a, like BYU, an ESPN darling. They love the Broncos because they're a late night Western time slot and they're willing to do whatever ESPN says. So for that, they will work with the Broncos, and they're good TV. They put out good results. They're a good brand. They're a good program. So that's really it to me. Anyone else in the Group of Five, like you run through it, or you even go in the Pac-12. Arizona, no, they couldn't do it. Arizona State, no, they couldn't do it. UCLA, no, they couldn't do it. I mean, maybe Washington, maybe. But there's not many. So, again, I don't know where this UMass AD is forecasting this. Does he look at the Group of Five, like the Sun Belt teams? Do they think they're going to do it? Maybe. But UConn's going to get a harsh reality here pretty soon that without some sort of TV deal, it's kind of tough to navigate life as an independent. But it's an interesting quote nonetheless that makes me kind of think of who could potentially be those other teams that go independent. We'll see. You can tweet at me, @Mitch_Harper. Share your thoughts on who you think would be teams that could handle it as an independent. Let's take a quick timeout. On the other side, I teased it earlier, the best BYU football players through 7 games this season at each position. Who are they? We'll go through.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
But next, you're listening to the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. All right, welcome on back. Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
best players on the BYU roster by position through seven games. Who are they? Each position, just one player. Now, just a quick note, I didn't go through each offensive tackle, offensive guard, just one player in the whole group. Who's the best of the best? Let's start it off on the defensive side of the ball. Well, you know what? We'll start off with special teams. Kicker, going to go Jake Oldroyd. Even though I'm losing my patience, man. Jake, Ice Coldroid, ever since he wanted the name change, he hasn't been the same guy. Hasn't been the same guy. Oldroyd not doing so great as of late. He's got to get back on track. But for right now, he's the best kicker. Best punter as well, too, by default. Because Danny Jones had that blunder against USF, and that basically eliminates anyone else. Safety. Now, this one got interesting for me. I would have said Austin Lee right off the bat, but now, with a position change, makes it a little bit more interesting. Dion Galwoloku, I think, has got to be the guy now at this spot. With these new blitz packages for these safeties, goodness gracious, Dion's going to look really good, man. Dion Galwoloku and Austin Lee, those are your top guys there. I still got to give some love to Austin Lee because he's been there for the most of the season. You know what? You know what? Austin Lee at safety, I'll still say Dion to this point at cornerback because I was going to say Isaiah Heron at cornerback, but he's had some games where he was a little bit lackluster, but he's made a lot of improvements recently. Heron's going to be good. He's going to continue to improve, but I'll say Dion Galwoloku at cornerback to this point because those five games with Dion at corner, he was really good. Linebacker, I'll go with Isaiah Kafusi. I think Kafusi has been solid. I don't know if he's been great. Wilgar and Chaz Ayu have shown flashes of brilliance week after week, and they're continuing to get better. And by season's end, they might be bigger playmakers at linebacker than Isaiah Kafusi, but Kafusi still pretty solid. I just don't think we've seen the type of game that we saw he had against Utah last year. That was such a high bar, that playmaking ability that we saw. Haven't seen that quite this year, but anytime you look at a box score, Kafusi's putting up 6, 7, 8 tackles, a tackle for loss. He still makes plays. Defensive line, Kyrus Tonga. Tonga, still the best defensive lineman on the team, but room to grow still. I think Kyrus had a great bounce-back performance against Boise State compared to what he did against USF. Not the whole defense in general played a lot better than what they did against the Bulls, but Tonga still got a lot of room to grow. A couple weeks back against USC, I would have told you, sayonara, Kyrus Tonga is going to be in the NFL. But to this point of the season, I feel like Kyrus Tonga would be well-served to come back one more year, just one more year, because I feel like he hasn't been consistent enough and he hasn't shown that relentless motor. I don't know if he'd be a high draft pick at this point now of the season. We'll see. Still the best defensive lineman for the Cougars. Offensive line, Brady Christensen, been stout. He's had a few penalties, though, the last couple of games. That's got to get cleaned up. No more administrative penalties. Christensen's got to clean that up, but for the most part, did a really nice job. Tight end, that's easy. Matt Bushman, arguably the best player on the football team. Bushman is great. He, if he wants to, he's going to be in the NFL next year, and he's going to get handsomely paid. He could be a second-round draft pick, maybe. It's always hard to forecast a first-round pick. With him being older, it might be a little bit of a reach there. But I think second round's doable. I think he's good. I think he's still got a lot of great football ahead of him. Wide receiver, Aleva Hifo. Hifo's been explosive. He can make plays all over the field. That speed has showcased itself at times this season. But I think Hifo, Shumway, and Simon have all done relatively well. But I think Hifo has been the best thus far. Running back, Tyson Williams. Still love Tyson, man. Four games. Gosh, it's a shame that BYU didn't get to see his full capabilities because I think even in the four games, he was underutilized. Man, imagine what he could have done against Toledo and USF. Dude would have racked up 150-plus on his own. Gosh, it's a shame. But BYU's running backs, in relief of him against Boise State, they stepped up. They answered the bell. Sione Finau, Lopini Katoa, they came up big. Quarterback, Zach Wilson. Wilson's the best quarterback in the program. He's still your quarterback one, and it's not even a debate to me. It's surprising to me how there's fans that believe Baylor and Jaren are already better than Zach Wilson. Like, folks, are you watching these games? Zach Wilson is a dang fine quarterback, and it's a shame he's not getting these reps right now, because I think that USF game, I think BYU wins with Zach Wilson. That's my feel. That's my read. Do they win the Boise State game? I don't know. This team is so dang inconsistent, it's hard to forecast them at all with anyone at quarterback. But I think Zach Wilson's still been the best quarterback thus far to this point of the season. But love what I've seen from Baylor and Jaren Hall as well. Finally, before we wrap up the show, I want to give a quick shout-out to the latest commit in the class of 2020. There was another one last night. John Nielsen out of Salem Hills High School, a defensive tackle, offensive lineman. He's now the 18th commit. He's the cousin to former Salem Hills star and USC standout Porter Gustin, who recently had a brief stint with the New Orleans Saints. So John Nielsen, a massive 6'4", 260-pound defensive lineman, commits to the Cougars. He's a weight room junkie. Kind of think Zach Daw, Brackenell Bakri. That's kind of the comp when you think of John Nielsen. So congrats to him and his family getting that offer and committing to BYU as part of the 2020 class. Signing day going to be coming up in less than 2 months. How crazy is that? It's going to be here before we know it. And next week, kickoff will be here before we know it. BYU and Utah State. You can hear the game on KSL News Radio. But that'll do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, subscribe and leave a rating and a review for the podcast. 5 stars, preferably. Be much appreciated because it helps out the show a ton. I'll talk to you on Monday, getting ready for BYU and Utah State as game week comes back. This has been the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.